Greetings in Jesus' name. Trust we've been blessed with the preaching of God's word this morning already. Let's just pause and have time of prayer here. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning again with thanksgiving. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together as your people. We thank you, Lord, that we can know that we are your children. We're here this morning because we want to spend time with your people. We want to be taught by the preaching of your word. We want to be drawn closer to you. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would be with those that are not here for whatever reason, Lord. We just lift them up to you. We pray, Lord, that they could be inspired in their hearts. We pray for those that are traveling, that are at other places. We just commit them to you and just pray that they would be a blessing to the people that they are around. Lord, I pray this morning that you would, that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid on my heart. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, Lord. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message this morning is, What Kind of Steward Am I? A question for us. And yes, we have, some of us have had opportunity to be taught about finances and reminded of how money works. And my goal is not to speak about that, but rather, I'd like to look at things in our lives and what are we doing with what God has given us? What are we doing with the time that God has given us? When we look at the boundaries of finances, some of the questions that were asked us here as we were those of us that went through one or both of those classes is, or at least that's what I, questions that were formed in my mind is, when it comes to finances, am I making the decisions of how these things work? Or as I'm using my funds that God has placed in my hands, am I giving and using it based on what's there? Like, basically, when there is no more, I can't use it anymore or give. And when we think about money, when we think about using it in a way that benefits others, we like to think about giving, and we were taught about that. But when the bank is empty and we have a desire to give, we find ourselves frustrated because there's no more there to give. And often there's reasons for that. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44, Jesus was observing some people that were giving funds to a cause. And he noted that there was many coming through giving of their abundance. But there was this widow that came along and she gave I would say from her heart, because she gave what she had to offer. And Jesus pointed this out, that she had given all. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, a very familiar passage to us here, I believe, going down to verse 14. And I'd like to, for us to visualize ourselves in this passage about God speaking about us, our lives. And I'd like for us to not think about in a way of money, maybe it includes that, but rather our whole life. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. God coming and meeting with us, and he delivered unto us his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So as we see the difference here in these different talents here, some are being used, and I just like to get a picture of ourselves, if our life is being useful, it's radiating. But if we're over here in this circle, we're living out of fear or in survival mode, and it has little benefit to the people around us. The person that is radiating, as I was pondering that, Psalms chapter 16, verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." We see this person walking, living life. We see joy coming out of their lives. We see a person with vision. They recognize what God has given them. And they're using it to the best of their ability to make a difference. In their families, in their homes, in their workplace. And as I was looking at this message here and just processing it in my own mind and thinking about how often that we see people or maybe even see ourselves over in, it feels like our life is here. And we have so many desires and good intents and it just reminded me of our finances and the things that we were talked about in our bank. We want to use that money for good things. But if we don't pay attention and we don't have boundaries and use it properly, it runs out. And we're struggling and we quickly find ourselves in this circle, our world here. And it becomes a life of survival and not a life of joy and giving. And as Christians, I think if we're not careful with our time, the time that God has given us, the life that God has given us, if we don't have a vision and have intentions and strive for those things, we can quickly find ourselves in a box that is in survival mode. We've seen and probably have experienced this, people that were just burnt out with life. And it's hard when we're in that position. It is really hard for us to see ourselves in a world, in a life that is radiating and that is inspiring the people around us. As I was thinking of burnout, I was reminded of a story that I was told about in a workplace and a heater that didn't have enough of gas. The gas was turned down. Maybe it didn't have enough of oxygen. And what happens in this case is you have a little heat and some smoke and not a lot of good comes out of it. And it leaves us to discouragement. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in that place. We think about discouragement. How do we get there? We look at the time that God has given us, and I think it often comes with unrealistic expectations or demands, or we have certain perfections that we like to live to, and they're unrealistic, and it causes us to fall into discouragement. So how do we, as God's stewards, how do we break this down and make our lifetime? We don't know how many days, how many weeks, how many years we have. If we look at the big picture and say, well, I've got 50 years. I've got lots of time. Time has a way of slipping by, and we're not careful. We quickly run out of time, and things don't get done in the way that we would like. So I think what I'd like for us to picture is one day at a time, 24 hours. And there's lots of different things that we can fill in here. And if we look at charts, which we were showing, when we look, we like to see a line like that in our life, but it will end up going like this. So but it should average out to be something that is manageable. After all, if we take one day at a time and start analyzing our life, it's going to fill up in 24 hours. We have 24 hours to spend each day. And as God's children, some of that time is going to be spent with God. Some of that time needs to be spent with our families, with our children. Meal time, play time. And there should be some personal time in there, some free time. Most of us probably have some type of hobby, something that we enjoy doing. There's going to be some time needed for that. And there's something that's called work that is, if we're in that age, is very demanding, and it requires a certain amount of time in order for us to survive, to provide for the needs that we have. There's time for friends. As we go down through the list, we see time ticking away. 1 hour here, 2 hours here, 8 hours here. Pretty soon, the day is full. What happens when we don't manage our time well? And it reminded me of a children's story that was shared here, demonstrated here a few weeks back, was that jar. And if it's not done in order, it doesn't fit. And so it's important for us that we have to have boundaries. We need to have a vision of what our day needs to look like. And I think we all live in a real world. We're not going to every night get 8 hours of sleep. And we're not going to have 3 hours of family time or 2 hours of this or the other thing. But it should average out to something that is manageable. And I think areas that sometimes we forget is we fail to leave time for dealing with problems in our life or resolving issues. And so we have a plan and it's full. And then things come along and there's no time. In Acts, chapter 20. And as we think about giving of our time in our life, verse 35, we're told here, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, tells us here that God loveth a cheerful giver. In order for us to be able to fulfill these verses, we have to have resources to give. If someone comes knocking on your door and says, I need a $100 bill. I don't have any food to put on my table. Unless we don't have a $100 bill to give, we're not able to give. And I think that sometimes that's the trouble that we run into. We want to give. We want to bless. We want to give of our life. We want to give of our time. But if we don't manage our time, if we don't have boundaries in place and use that time wisely, when these opportunities come along and this person is knocking on your door and says, I need some of your time. My time is already used up. I have no more time to give. And so we fail to be able to be a cheerful giver because I'm burnt out. It is more blessed to give than to receive. We want to fall in that category. But if we don't have the resources to give, it's pretty hard to be a cheerful giver because it's like, I need some time for myself. And so having, as we look down over this list of our day, time with God, time with our families, personal time, work time, time with friends, having time to deal with life, and time for mission work. Are we managing those things? Are we able to discern how much time we should spend with each of those? Or is there something in our lives that is taking way too much time? And then some of these other things have to go. And we, just like money, if we don't manage our time, it manages us. And we find ourselves falling into frustration. The same with the boundaries of time. Does it control us? Or do we manage it? So, what would Jesus have us to do? And so I was pondering that life is real, and life is going to be full. We all know that. We know that God has given us our lifetime. And He wants to use us to be in our lifetime. He wants our life to radiate out and inspire people around us, our neighbors, our friends, strangers that we meet. How did Jesus live His life? We know that He spent time teaching the disciples, healing people, and so I just like to go down and just look at some things that Jesus did, and maybe we can glean some things that can be inspirational to us, that can encourage us, that can help us make the right time for our day. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 18, it was the time of Passover, And Jesus made time for that. He made plans for that, and they went and he had the Passover with his disciples. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, Jesus went to a Pharisee's house for dinner. These were intentional. This was time spent intentionally planned, I believe. In John chapter 10, verse 40, it tells us that Jesus went back to where John had been baptized. Maybe just spending some time reflecting. Intentional time spent. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 38, we see that Jesus spent time with his disciples, and I think he spent a lot of time with his disciples, but in a very critical time in his life, he went to Gethsemane with his disciples, and it was a time of prayer, intentional time spent. In Mark chapter 1, verse 38, we see that Jesus was at one place teaching, and he traveled to another place to teach the people. In Mark chapter 10, verse 32, we look at the time that Jesus had. Unhurried time. And the disciples must have felt like he had time. He took time to teach his disciples. When we're spending time with people, do they feel like we have time for them? Or is our life so full and so scheduled that people meet us and they feel like we don't have time for them? John chapter 11, verse 6. Word came to Jesus that Lazarus was sick. An emergency. A time in our minds that we would think, in our human reasoning, it's time to drop everything and run because there's a person that is sick and dying. Tells us here that Jesus spent two more days there before he went to see Lazarus. In Luke, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 5, we see Jesus putting boundaries in his life. Verse 15 and 16. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. He was popular. People were coming and they wanted his time and they wanted to be healed. And we see here in verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Obviously, Jesus touched many people's lives, but he knew when he needed to withdraw himself and spend time alone. And his relationship with his father, how important that was. In Matthew chapter 12, another time that Jesus said no. Verse 46. Jesus was spending time here teaching the people. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. His family had come, and they made it known that they were there and that they wanted to speak with Jesus. Then said one unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Probably he did go and speak with his family there. But I think he's making a point here is that we need to, like, not be, like, our relationships matter. But we have to have boundaries, and we need to know what is priority. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 23 there, Peter had come to Jesus and wanted him to do certain things. And Jesus told Peter, no, you're a stumbling block to me. And so we see Jesus not just yielding to the people around him. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 to 17, Jesus told the money changers in the temple. He told them what he thought of them and drove them out of that place. In Matthew 13, verse 58, his own people, he was in his own town teaching, and they took offense at him. And Jesus did not many miracles there because of their lack of faith. The rich young ruler, a young man that had come to Jesus, Jesus didn't tell him the things that he wanted to hear. The rich young ruler told him all the things that he was doing. And Jesus pointed out the thing that he needed to deal with. The thing that was controlling his life. Jesus didn't change his message just because the young man wasn't able to receive it. So as we look at some of these verses here, Jesus' life gives us many examples of how I believe that God wants us to live our lives. We see Jesus' life, a life of serving, of giving, a life of encouraging, a life of spending time alone with God, a life of spending time with his disciples, discipling them, preparing them for life. Do you think Jesus had time. He lived one day at a time, just like we are. And I'm sure that Jesus had priorities. He had a vision of what his day was going to look like. Did time control him? Or did he manage his time? It would seem like he managed his time well. We have examples of how Jesus dealt with things in John chapter 8. The woman that was caught in adultery, Jesus offered grace to her. To the Pharisees who tried to condemn this woman, he also confronted them with their sin. So there's things we need to learn about time. There's only so much time in a day, and the clock is ticking, and we're going to get to hour 24, and are we going to feel in the end of the day like didn't get there and feel like we just are on survival mode and that we're burning out? I think God wants to teach us. I don't think that it is God's desire that is our life. That is our experience day after day. I believe that life is real. And that we have days that's how life plays out. Because we are not in control of life. But generally speaking, the life that we are blessed by, that we are encouraged by, is the life that is here. We see a person living a life of passion, of vision, of desire, and a life that is serving. Like gravity has boundaries, and until we learn how gravity works as people, and we keep stepping off the edge, we keep finding ourselves getting hurt. And so I think it's important for us to see and recognize that we only have so much time today to do so many things. And if we, as God's people, we want them to be good hours. We want them to bless others. We want to be blessed ourselves. A person that is burnt out and not revived and encouraged is hard to fit in that circle of joy and radiating. And so let's take the example that we see Jesus taking. Time and time again, he provided time for himself to spend time with the Father, to be encouraged. A quote that I found that I think is very easy for us to fall into: a close walk with God is not our duty. but a desire that needs to be filled, lest we want to experience emptiness in our soul. A walk with God. I believe if we're honest with ourselves, we want a walk with God. We want to be close to the Lord. It's a God-given desire. And it's a desire that needs to be filled. Lest we want to experience emptiness in our soul. When we go down the road of duty, we find ourselves, I have to do this. And it goes on, and it fills up. And we run out of time. A desire that needs to be filled. It's a life, it's a relationship. Talking with Jesus makes it right. In closing, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I believe if we look at what God has given us, and if we want this to be a reality in our lives, if we want to freely give, if we want to be a cheerful giver, we need to be able to manage this that God has given to us. If our bank is full, if we are dedicating the proper amount of time on a daily basis, we feel we can give, we can rejoice, we can freely give, we can give with a joyful heart. But it's when we find ourselves in life where we're not giving the proper amount of time with God, with our family. When we fail to deal with issues because I ran out of time. And we put those things off. And rather we filled it with something else. And then it starts building. And pretty soon, if we're not careful, we find ourselves in a place where it takes more time to work through it than we have. And that's when we find ourselves in debt. And so, my encouragement to each one of us here is, what kind of steward am I? Am I managing these things well in my life? And I think that a telltale, the way we can tell where we're at in a way in our lives is, am I able to be a cheerful giver when these things come up? Or is it out of grudgingly or necessity? Because that's what's expected. So let's do ourselves a favor and ask this question and allow God, if we see things in our lives that we need to work on, that we need to change, that we acknowledge those things, and that we have the right vision that God would have us to have. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that you've given us, the work that you want to do through us, the joy that you want to reveal to the people around us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to use our time in a way that would be pleasing to you, in a way that would bring joy to our hearts. Lord, we just ask that you would teach us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.